Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. It's September 1st, Labor Day, and as the NASCAR season winds down, things are heating up. Today's show will have Ryan Trapp from Richmond and a dirt track racer from Iowa named Kenneth Lowell Smith, who's raising money for PTSD through his racing. But right now, I'd like to welcome to the show designated spokesperson from Richmond International Raceway, Ryan Trapp. Ryan, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Thank you for having me on, Vince. I appreciate it.
It's not too bad. What did Amy see who wanted to come on and you drew the short straw?
No. I mean, you know how it is. It's crazy around this time of the year. So, you know, just everyone's getting pulled in a lot of different directions. But, you know, I'm definitely glad I could take a couple minutes. I appreciate you having us on.
Definitely. It's one of my favorite tracks. I don't get out there to cover it too much. I have a designated correspondent and he usually does a good job for me. But I did manage to make it out from last year, not this year. But then it was a fun time. I'll get back out there again, but right now things require me to be at the home base. So even though the first race of the year at Richmond is always fun and exciting, you guys have the designation for being the last race before the chase, and I'm sure there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. Then must be something to market when you have everybody coming to town this weekend or next week.
Vince, it definitely does. You know, especially this year with the new chase grid that NASCAR's got going on, where, you know, winning is important as ever, and, you know, just you get that one win and you're into the chase. So, you know, in the past year, ever since the chase really got started, you know, we've been able to have that designation as the one last race to make it to make the chase. You know, our Federated Auto Parts 400 race, and you know, when they added on the wild cards, that created even more excitement. It was even more drivers, you know, fighting for those last few spots to get into the chase. But, you know, this year where they had the new chase grid, it's really going to be something special. You know, I mean, coming into our race, we only know there's only two spots available. And, you know, there's, you know, a bunch of different drivers who are without the wins, who are on the bubble, who, you know, they can win to get in, and even if the race winner, you know, qualifies for the chase, even though that's when the points come into play too. So there's definitely going to be a lot to watch.
I know, because Casey Kane took the win this past weekend in Atlanta, and because he was on the bubble there for a little bit, and he finally made it in, which pushes everybody down. So now there's three guys with no wins that are in on points, and then you have a few from, I guess, points position 17 through 20 that can shake it up even more. So it's going to be one of those whale of a weekend coming up there.
Yeah, you know, it definitely will be. And, you know, yeah, like you said, Casey, he raced well. You know, it was a heck of a race with Kenseth. And, you know, actually with the second place finish, Kenseth actually finished high enough in the points where he's locked in too. So we got those last two spots available. And, you know, like I said, you got everyone fighting for points, but even if you're outside of that, you know, that top 20 in points range, if you get that win, like, you get into the chase, and it's, you know, it's really going to be something special. And, you know, we're really happy to be able to have that that distinction, you know, down at RIR. And, you know, we love having the fans who come out. We think it's some of the greatest racing out there. You know, we're the only 3/4 mile on the Sprint Cup circuit, and, you know, the drivers love it. It's kind of got that throwback Saturday night, under the lights feel to it. It's, you know, a lot of up-close action, and, you know, the fans love it too, because, you know, the fans, they get to have that feel of, like, the night racing. It just brings that kind of electricity to the air that that's something really, really special that we were able to create.
And it's not just the Federated Auto Parts 400. You also have the Virginia 529 College Savings 250 Nationwide Series race on Friday night. So it makes for a good thing to get the weekend package. This way you can get to see both races under the lights, and it should be pretty much good fun this way. You know, I'm sure you're running a special deal where you buy tickets for both, and get a price, and are their tickets still available? Or are you pretty much sold out now with the way the Chase format's setting up?
No, you know, there are definitely still tickets available, and we got a ton of great different you know, options and packages and everything. You know, those can all be found on our website. You go on there, we got everything. And actually, Vince, one thing that's really great about our Friday night race is, you know, like you said, it's also got that night racing feel. It's got the electricity, and you know, Virginia 529 has been a long time partner at RAR, and we're really happy to be able to bring them out again this year. And one thing that we actually are able to do Friday night is, kids, if you're 12 and younger, you actually get in free with a, you know, adult ticket. So, you know, parents, they can bring out their kids. It's going to be a lot of fun out there. You know, another partner that we've had for a long time at the track, Gwaltney, they took over our Turn 3 terrace that we've got, and they're actually putting up a fun zone out there. They're going to be bringing food and a Ferris wheel. It's going to be free to ride. You know, they'll take donations for their Victory Junction Gang charity. But yeah, you know, go out there. The kids can come out and have fun. You know, the parents can go out there and grab a drink. And like I said, it's just going to be a blast. And, you know, you definitely got to come, you know, get the whole weekend, get everything that we have to offer.
And to get tickets, just go to Richmond International Raceway, see ticket info, click on the buy tickets. Print them out right there on your own printer so you don't have to wait in line. And you still do the will calls now, or is everything done online, or just show up on race night?
No, we got the will calls. So, you know, you can do print at home. You know, you can leave them at the will call and come pick them up at any of our will call offices that we have on track. And, you know, it's definitely a great experience, you know, to come out to. You come out there, you spend the whole day there. We open up our gates to the parking lots at 7 a.m. both days, so you can come out and have a full day of, you know, racing fun, come and see everything that we have. And, you know, we always want to give our customers the most value and the most access and experience that they can get, you know, with that ticket. And, you know, we're taking that to another level this race, too, where we're having our it's our inaugural post-race party on the track. You know, it's just what we're able to do is with being that one last race to make the chase and having all 16 drivers who are locked onto the chase grid, you know, all at one place, all at one time, able to celebrate, you know, getting in together. We're going to bring that experience to the fans. And after the race, we're going to open up the track. Fans are going to be able to come out onto the track surface. We're going to have a stage, it's going to be a DJ, there's going to be dancing, music, fun, and we're going to introduce all 16 drivers, get out there, get them up close and personal with the fans, you know, really have a good time, and it's free. You know, all you need is that ticket. So, you know, definitely tickets are available. You get that, you come on out, you have a lot of fun. You know, you're able to party with the drivers, get up close with them, and I see some really, really great racing.
That's something nice. That ought to be one whale of a show there because, you know, doing that, you know, you always they always have the thing on TV after the race where they have the announcement of the chasers, but to actually have the fans come down and party with them, all 16 drivers, and have one big fun time like that. Man, I almost wish I was going.
Yeah, man, you gotta get out there. Like I said, there's gonna be music. We'll have a DJ. There'll be confetti. There'll be glows. I mean, anything you want. You know, we're going to bring it out there. We're going to have a lot of fun. And just, you know, like I said, it's going to be a party.
And anything leading up to the race this weekend? Because usually you have some events during the week leading into the weekend as well. Anything you want to put forth that the listeners can head on down to Richmond and catch before all the fun really begins?
Well, you know, we open up our campgrounds really early. You know, they get opened up on Tuesdays, and you know, we get some of the best camping and some of the best, you know, tailgating, all that other stuff. So, you know, we'll have fans out there. You know, they sit up there all week, and yeah, you know, all the on-track activity that starts Friday. I mean, you come out, you're able to see, you know, the Sprint Cup practicing. You're able to see all the qualifying. You know, the new qualifying format almost makes like mini races in itself. So, you know, it's definitely a real fun-filled weekend. You know, it's the ticket. The people are able to come out. You know, we give them everything that we possibly can, and really create a really, really lasting experience and some lasting memories.
That'll be a pretty great weekend. Now, from what I heard, somebody said that Richmond International Raceway owns an amphitheater right next door. I can't wait till you start booking some concerts there, too. So that ought to be something, not this year maybe, but during race weekend, like maybe Thursday and Friday, you get some named bands down there. And
yeah,
and really,
yeah, you know, yeah, definitely. One thing we actually have is we have a couple different local bands that we have playing throughout the weekend, both on Friday and Saturday. We got a couple different places. One of those is the amphitheater, you know, that hosts our military hospitality during the weekend. But you know, during the summer, we actually just wrapped up a concert series with the Whisper Concerts. We had four country shows come out. You know, fans came out. It was a great time, and that's definitely something we're going to be looking forward to doing again next summer. You know, nothing set in stone yet. We don't know exactly the details, but you know, it's definitely been a mission to really bring that amphitheater back to life and really get some great shows out there.
It sounds like Dennis, your president, Dennis Bickmeyer, and the rest of the staff there really have a lot going on. Of course, again, the schedule just came out, two races again next year. Of course, probably hosting the last race before the chase as well. So it seems like everybody has their eyes set on Richmond International Raceway this weekend, and have been, so it's a good thing to have that in the books, because under the lights you can't beat the action, and then with so much on the line, the drivers, it's either leave it all on the track or don't make the chase, so it should be a pretty good deal. Any celebrities singing a national anthem, or is that something we're going to keep under wraps until race day?
Well, you know, we're really fortunate that, you know, we got some great local talent coming out, you know, for Friday night. You know, definitely we love, you know, we definitely, military program is huge at, you know, definitely something we recognize at RER. Our military hospitality is a really, really great program. And, we love getting our service members also involved, like in a lot of that stuff. So we actually have we've got an Army band coming out for the national anthem, on the Saturday performance. You know, they're going to do a great job. The fans are going to absolutely love it. You know, like I said, we definitely tried to put on a phenomenal show, you know, for fans. And just like I said, they get the most at RER. We try to give them everything we can with that ticket.
So campground opens up tomorrow, right? And then everybody can start pulling in. And then, of course, you have the midway with the sprint experience where fans can get all their gear to actually sit in the stands and watch the in-car cameras. At the race, it used to be a time when you just got a scanner. Now you could actually sit at your seat and see replays and things like that.
Yeah. The fan vision is definitely something that's, you know, changed the viewing experience of the sport, you know, for sure. And, yeah, the midway, it opens up early on Friday morning. You know, the schedule of when everything kind of opens up is all found on our website. And, yeah, everyone who's reserved camping, they can start coming in, you know, throughout the week. You know, and like some of the camping spots are just, you know, we've heard stories where at RIR it's pretty unreal.
I'm pretty sure, definitely, whenever you get a bunch of fans together in one spot with a week's worth of nothing to do, you get some pretty wild stories.
Yeah, you know, I mean, fans of our sport are, you know, we say they're the greatest fans in all of sport. And, you know, the thing is they definitely know how to have fun, how to have a good time. And, you know, we can promise that at RIR we're going to make sure that they have a good time.
Well, that's good to hear. And, again, if you want to get your tickets, go to RichmondInternationalRaceway.com. And it says there, I'm looking at it right now, ticket info right below that, the buy tickets tab. Click on that, put in your info, pay your credit card, print them out, and hop in your car and make your way down to the track this weekend. Urge everybody to get both nights. And it makes the party afterwards on Saturday night probably keep people from wanting to leave the track as soon as the checkered flag drops. So that sounds like a whole lot of fun. That's something I think is going to be a real big hit this year.
Yeah, we definitely think so, too, and we're really excited about it.
So, anything else we need to add? Because this is probably your last little bit of breathing room before tomorrow, and things gonna get really busy, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, we're just getting to it. We're in that time of the year where it's all over the place. But you know, it's all exciting. It's all really good things. And even though you were working hard, but we're just as excited for everything to happen this weekend as our fans are.
Then I guess Monday, everybody. I guess at the end of the week, when everything's done, everybody gets a chance to breathe for a day or so. And then you got to prepare for next year.
Exactly. Breathe for a day. Then, you know, like you said, the schedule came out. We know we got NASCAR coming back next April, so got to get ready for that.
That's always fun. At least I don't see how they could take any races away from you guys. You're the only three-quarter-mile track, and races there are always competitive and fun to watch. So it's not one it's always one of my favorite tracks. And they're going to change a few others. They have an 8.5 million, they could maybe give you guys a third race. That'd be nice. Maybe not.
Well,
maybe not for you, but for.
Hey, regardless, we're going to put on a great show, and we're incredibly fortunate to have the race weekends that we have. We love that we have them again next year, and we're really fortunate that we got great partners like Toyota, Federated Auto Parts, who's sponsoring this weekend, and the Virginia 529 is sponsoring our Friday night race here this weekend. We're really fortunate to have them. We got some great partners. We got some great race weekends, and more importantly, we're going to have some great racing for the fans.
That's for sure. Okay, Ryan, I'd like to thank you for taking some time to join us here on Garage Talk Live. We've made your debut, so you don't have to feel as a stranger no more. So thanks again for joining us, and it'll be a blast this weekend.
Absolutely, Vince. Hope to see you out there sometime soon. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care now.
All right, you as well.
All right, bye-bye. There we have Ryan Trepp from Richmond International Raceway. And joining us here on Garage Talk Live, go to RIR.com, get your tickets, and check out all the things they got. When I went there, you're not really in downtown Richmond. You're a little outside in Henrico County there. So, and there's a lot of stuff to do when you're not at the track. So if you get there early enough and do the camping thing, go out and check out the area. It's a lot of fun. But again, when you get to the track, things should be an interesting weekend. Two races, one Friday, one Saturday. And with the last race before the chase, should be interesting figure, because now Kane making the field, he automatically jumps to eighth in the points. He's got the most points of anyone with one win. So that moves everything down to 14th with Matt Kenseth. He's got a good almost a 50-point lead over Ryan Newman. So he's pretty much locked in with no wins at 14th. I'm sure he'd like that win for sure, but for him it's not necessary now. So that leaves Newman, Biffle, Boyer, Larson, Menard, and Dillon battling it out. And I don't see anything that might change that. Of course, there's a bunch of guys that have already won that could take this race. So if it would, it'd be neat to see somebody in the below the cutoff line take the win and put themselves in the chase. And that, so that'll be pretty interesting to who does that. Guys that had a bad day this past weekend in Atlanta was Clint Boyer, who had some shifter trouble and wound up putting himself below the line. But to that in a bit. As a matter of fact, two races run yesterday. Earlier in the day, it was the Camping World Truck Series up in Canada at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, riding the road course in between the excitement Sunday night and barbecue and all that. It kind of slipped in under the radar, but it was Ryan Blaney taking the win in the number 29 Ford, holding off Herman Caroga. Eric Jones came in third. Gray Galding was fourth. Andrew Ranger was fifth. Matt Crafton, sixth. Brendan Newberry was seventh. Johnny Sauter was eighth. Cole Custer was ninth. And Tim Peters round out the 10. Coming in, friends of the show, T.J. Bell, he was 21st. Joey Coulter, who drives for GMS, we had his teammate Spencer Gallagher on last week. He was 13th. Got to keep an eye on these guys. That doesn't really change the points set up. Johnny Sauter still leads the points over Matt Crafton by 7. That could flip around. Brian Blaney is third. He's 6 back at Crafton. So he's knocking on the door of that title, too. He's 14 out of the lead, and Johnny Sauter, who finished 8th last night, loses more points. You know, that's he can make that up in a race or two, and the races are starting to wind down. That was race number 14. You figure they only got about 20. They only raced about 25 races in the truck series, but he can make that up. The race took 1 hour 42 minutes 4 seconds. The average speed was 92.5 miles an hour, and the margin of victory of 0.049 seconds. So it was a close battle there at the end. Didn't really easy. There were only 2 cautions for 6 laps, and there were 8 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. So they had more lead changes than a nationwide race. That was a pretty mellow race. In the NHRA, they had their U.S. Nationals today, and they reset. This is the last race they have before they start their countdown, which is in 2 weeks in Charlotte at the Z-Max Dragway. So this also ran, I think they also ran the finals that from Brainerd, because that got rained out. That was supposed to run this week as well. But anyway, in the top fuel division, it was Steve Torrence over Richie Crampton for that final. And they were running some fast speeds, 3.76 for Crampton and 3.79 for Torrence. Crampton over Torrence by 0.03 of a second there in the finals as we were looking on the board there. So John Force won the funny card and Traxxas Nitro Shootout again. He won it last year. Last year he beat his daughter Ashley, but he was able to win that this year as well. Whenever the money's on the line, you can't count out the whole man. John Force is a defending champ, and I think he's on the road for another one. He wound up going to the semifinals only to lose to Alexis DeJoria this past weekend, so it's like her third win of the year. She's won. She beat Robert Height twice earlier in the year. We had her on, and this year she was able to lock in to take home the Wally again for her third win. So that team has actually come together, so that's pretty good for her. It's always good to see her take the win. She wound up beating John Force, who had to go through his teammate Robert Height in the first round, and then Matt Hagen in the second round. Ronnie Capps in the third round to face DeJoria, who had to go through Courtney Force in the semifinals, and Blake Alexander, and then Cruz Pedro got in round one. So as she cements a spot in the countdown as well. In the pro stock division, it was Dave Connolly versus Shane Gray. With Shane Gray taking home the Wally. Erica Ender Stevens, after having them 2 weeks off, barely made it out of the first round. First, she defeated number 12 qualifier, Ritchie Stevens, which is her husband. Imagine facing your mate in round one. She beat him, then on to face eventual finalist Dave Connolly, who used to be her crew chief last year. And she lost in the second round to Connolly with a 6.62 to his 6.61. Hundredth of a second difference there, making a difference of a couple car lengths. So that's how tight that division is. But you know what? I have to go to the points to find out how that's looking for the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series Pro Stock points, with losing first round last week, and then 2 weeks ago, and then second round this week. Erica drops out of the top spot as the things reset for the countdown to the championship. John Force overtakes Rob Height, who was leading. Now Height's 18 points back. Alexis DeJoria is in fifth place, one spot ahead of Courtney Force. We got three John Force Racing team in the top seven, with John at one, Height at two, and Courtney at six, getting all set up. And in the top fuel division, looks like Doug Kalita still holding the top spot over Antron Brown, but anything could happen in the last six races, so we'll see what happens there. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the show dirt track driver Kenneth Lowell Smith. Kenneth, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I see spent some time in the Marine Corps, did some tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq, and you came back to do some dirt track racing for a worthy cause, to raise a sponsorship and use that to help veterans with PTSD.
That's what I plan on doing.
Did you used to race before you went in the military?
I did that after I got out. I did it for a few years, found that it helped me out a lot with my own issues, and figured if it can help me out, maybe I can figure out some way to use it to help other people out.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because you hear about all the people coming back with PTSD, and I guess years ago when you went to war, chances are if you more people coming back alive. They have a tendency to come back with PTSD, and years ago more people be killed in war, so I guess you'd rather have them back alive and then get them to where they can cope with what they do. And it's a lot better situation when you have more survivors than you do casualties. But did you find that to deal with your own issues, it was better to concentrate on something else? And I mean, I don't understand, you know, I've never went through it. I've been in during peacetime. I wasn't one of the people that, I was under Jimmy Carter, so we didn't go anywhere.
That's the
Iran hostage crisis, and he blew that one out the yin yang.
Yeah, I found that I found that doing something like this kept my mind busy, kept me from thinking about everything. I could go out to the track every weekend, enjoy myself, have a little bit of fun, and then, you know, work on the car throughout the week on top of everything else. It just kept me busy, kept my mind away from everything. And because I went through, you know, Desert Storm over there in Kuwait and Iraq and all that, and it just, for some reason, it made me calmer, made me more alive, I guess I should say. I don't know. It's hard to say because everybody deals with separate issues, but I figured if I could use this to help other people, why not? I just got to have some sponsorship to do it, and maybe someone can step up and help out.
Now, was it something to where you'll bring veterans to the track, or basically try to get them to get some sort of counseling or to find their own groove and just,
oh, yeah,
you know, basically?
If I get the opportunity, I'll bring any kind of veteran to the track as possible. I plan on hitting as many tracks as possible in my local area. I've got probably 6 to 10 tracks within a 2 to 2.5 hour drive I can go to, and I plan on spreading the word at every track as possible. And then I'm going to set up donation jars also in the pits, and hopefully the tracks will let me do it at the grandstands, at the concession stands, and take any kind of donations, and I plan on sending that out to people that really need it.
Well, that sounds like a great thing to do. Now, what kind of car do you drive?
Well, it all depends on what I can get for sponsorship and the money to come in to start out. If it's not a lot, I'll have to go for what they call the Sport Compacts, which is the four-cylinder cars. Front-wheel drive, but very competitive. Usually getting from 15 to 20 cars a night at each track, which makes it a lot of fun. If I can get more than that, I'll move up into a hobby stock or even a stock car class. And those can bring in more money that way, and more sponsors and bigger payouts on some tracks. And even in the Sport Compacts, there's specials at certain tracks that can pay actually up to $1,000 at times to win, all the way down to, you know, just $100 just to start the feature. And my plan is to take that, at least half of that, because I've got to be able to put some back into the car, unfortunately. Take at least half of whatever I win and whatever I can collect each night, which is probably going to be 2 to 3 times a week, put it all in the fund, and when someone comes up, they need it, well, I've got it for them.
Because that's, I was wondering if you had a car all set to go and looking for, you know, to get some sponsorships to have you compete. But so what are the tracks in your area? I know you're out in Iowa, so therefore there's, it's not really one of the biggest states in the country, so to have that many close by where you live, that's pretty good.
I live in southeast Iowa in a place called Donelson. There's a track right here in town. 30 minutes away in Burlington, Iowa, there's a track. There's another track in Memphis, Missouri. It's about an hour away. There's one in Bloomfield, Iowa. It's about an hour away. There's one in Quincy, Illinois. It's about an hour and a half away. And then I could go a couple hours and hit a couple more in Illinois, a couple more in Missouri, and a couple more in Iowa up here if I go 2 hours away or more.
Pretty much have it all mapped out. Now, do you have a place that people can go to, like a GoFundMe account or something like that?
That's what I'm working on. I'm trying to get this all set up so I can get all that. I got someone working on logos and team names and stuff like that to help with the website so I can get going. Got someone that's starting to look into building a website for me so I can get this all set up. Right now I'm just doing it all out of a bank account that I can send the money out to different organizations if I have to. You know, like Wounded Warriors for Marines for PTSD and stuff like that. That's what I would love to do.
Gotcha. I mean, because, you know, you can set up these accounts like GoFundMe. I see people doing it to raise money for people's cancer treatments. And you can do it yourself and start a Facebook page specifically to that.
Yeah, I plan on doing a Facebook page.
You know, for you get an organization, that kind of thing. Maybe if you can get a tax exemption status, then it'll probably help you out in the long run.
This is a work in progress. Like I said, this is a work in progress. It's taking time to get it done. That's why I'm starting now before the racing season starts next year. That way I've got it all set up. I don't have to worry about it or nothing.
That's for sure. This way you at least get something. Step number one, I guess, be enough to get some equipment, and this way you can go and race. And besides the car, you're going to need the truck, the trailer, and tires, and all that kind of stuff. I've seen some of these dirt track cars, and people have to haul them around. And, I mean, I'm not saying go for, like, the full NASCAR-style hauler setup, but still, you figure...
It's just going to be just a standard old pickup with a trailer, and that's what the car is going to go on. It's nothing fancy. I'm not going to spend a lot of money on that. I've already got the truck. I don't have to worry about that. I'm finding trailers for next to nothing, so it won't take me very long to get one of them. As far as cars, I've got so many set up I could get right now. It's unreal.
Well, that's pretty good. When anybody that wants to sponsor your car, they can. Is there a way they can contact you? You want to give out the phone number or email?
The easiest way is probably my phone number. It's 660-591-2972. That's my phone number. It's the easiest way to probably get a hold of me.
And this way, and then the local businesses in the area as well. Hopefully there's a few of those that would consider helping you out.
I've got some on that I'm looking into. They haven't got back with me yet. As soon as I can get some more word on them, I'll be able to know more about it. I'm just kind of looking to maybe mainstream it a little bit and get it farther out so more people are aware of what's going on, you know.
That's about the way you can do it. And like I said, the Facebook page, get some social media stuff going and have all your friends tell their friends and spread the word around and get yourself a bit of a following. I'd like to see it all work out for you for next year. And this way we could see how things are progressing.
Like I said, I'm going to create a Facebook page for it, so that's not going to be an issue there. They can also go to my own page if they want to and cheer for me on that. And I'm working with a gentleman named Al Brown. He helps with a NASCAR truck team, and he's been helping me out a lot, too. He's working on trying to get some stuff done for me, too. So I've got some people on board already. It's just getting the rest of it done is taking time.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes, seems like it gets frustrating and then you get a breakthrough. But it's good to have people like that and point you in the direction. Like right now we're trying to get have you give the word out of where they could find you, and you can go to Facebook.com/ Kenneth Lowell.
My name, man.
Right?
Yep.
Which is Kenneth
that's
Lowell Smith.
That's
and,
correct.
And add you as a friend. And then,
and then we can chat back and forth and see what comes up.
So it's a pretty worthy cause that you're doing there. It's good to see that pay it forward. And as long as we have people in battle coming back that could use some help like that, be greatly appreciated by them. And who knows, the way the world's going anymore, this might be a never-ending thing, so.
Oh, well, that's very true, and that's kind of another reason I was thinking of this. Like I said, it helped me out when I come back, and a few years later I got into racing, and it kept me busy. It helped me out a bunch. I had to get out for a little bit because I had some things going on. Now I'm trying to get back into it because I found that it kept me sane, I guess I should say it, in an easy way of saying it. It kept me sane. It kept my mind straight. And I figured if I can use this to build up something to help other people, then maybe I can do something for them too.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. We're glad to have you on and get the word out. So hopefully I think I posted it off that your appearance is going to be on about 3 different groups I belong to, so. As
okay.
Well as my Garage Talk Live page. And hopefully they all tuned in, and we'll know where to contact you. So you want to, so they can contact you either at your phone, 660-591-2972. Or your Facebook page, which is Facebook.com, or anybody that's on Facebook want to go, just in the search, Kenneth Lowell. That's Lowell with 2 L's at the end, right?
Correct.
And Smith. And they'll bring you right up. So.
And for anybody out there that wants to do it, I'll be glad to help you. I will put, names on the car. I will. Actually, I'll even put it in parades and car shows and stuff like that, too, because I want to promote this as much as possible.
Wow, that's pretty good, too, because I know somebody that used to raise money and they used to say, for a $10 donation, the person would put their name on their car, so.
Yep, that's part of the idea. If somebody just wants to do that and just have her name on it, I'll get the name put on the car somewhere, and their name will be on the car for the whole year.
That way, some people then there's more as the organization grows, and the bigger car you can get, or maybe with the smaller car you could generate more to go towards the thing. So there's different ways to look at it. So.
If it was to get big enough, I'll move up into, the modifieds, and I'll hire somebody to drive it for me that's a lot better than I would be at it, and then we could really hit some of the big payout shows that pay $5,000 to $10,000 to win at times.
Yeah, that's where it's at. It's either the modifieds or the late models, which is basically a step below K&N, so.
That's correct.
Anyway, thank you for coming on with me. It's a pleasure to have you on, a fellow Marine. Sorry you had to deal with issues coming back from combat. Like I said, I felt a little deprived that I didn't get to go. I would.
Oh, don't feel bad. It's not all cracked up, but it is.
But I wanted to shoot somebody.
Yeah, well, it's not all cracked up like you think it is. So,
nah.
I appreciate being on the show.
And you keep in touch, and let me know how things go. And thanks again for coming on.
No problem. Thank you very much. And like I said, anybody wants to get hold of me, please do.
All right. Take care now. I'll give out the number and the Facebook page again. And then when you get a website, you can always let me know and I can give it a shout out.
Yeah, I can give you a shout for that when I get it all done.
All righty. Sounds good. You take care now and good luck with this.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have Kenneth Lowell Smith racing to help people with PTSD. It's a great cause. It's a shame that our servicemen have to come back with issues like that. But anything get their minds away from things they've seen or experienced and wish they hadn't, then the man needs some help with his cause, and I urge all my listeners to go out there and do that. So check him out. He would be going to his Facebook page at Kenneth Lowell Smith and send him a friend request, and he'll get back to you. He's looking to raise money for stuff like, you know, wheelchair ramps. The government doesn't cover everything. As a matter of fact, they really don't cover anything. They say they do, but after what's been we've been hearing about in the news lately, it almost makes you wonder going on there. But like I always say, bureaucrats don't help the people; they help themselves. That's why they do those jobs. But anyway, let's get back to the action this weekend. We also had the crowning of the Verizon IndyCar World Series champ. And that happened to be Will Power winning the IndyCar title over Elio Castroneves, Scotty Dixon. They had the MAV TV 500 out at the Fontana Speedway. And Tony Kanaan took home the checkered flag. Scotty Dixon was second. Eddie Carpenter came in third. Juan Pablo Montoya, fourth place finish for him. Coming returning to IndyCar after leaving Chip Ganassi's team. Now he's driving for Ganassi's main competition, Roger Penske. Fifth is James Hinchcliffe. Sixth, Takuma Sato. Seventh, Ryan Briscoe. Eighth, Carlos Munoz. Ninth, Will Power. Tenth, Newgarden. No women in the race. Simona DeSilvestro's trying Formula One. Danica left a long ago to go to NASCAR. So no women in IndyCar again. So, but the winner's average speed was 196.11 miles an hour. The time of race, 2 hours, 32 minutes, and 58 seconds. Margin of victory, 3.67 seconds. One caution for 12 laps. 17 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Even that had more lead changes than the nationwide race. Was in the nationwide race, you had Kevin Harvick kicking everybody's butt, led one time for 159 laps, took the lead over from points leader and teammate Chase Elliott, who led the first 36 laps, and after that it was all Kevin Harvick. Joey Logano came in second. Third was Kyle Larson. Fourth, Kyle Busch. Chase Elliott wound up in fifth ahead of teammate Regan Smith. There's a points battle going there that Chase Elliott is trying to stay ahead of Regan Smith on. So as that winds down, the season winds down, you know, he's looking to be another rookie champion in that division. Brian Scott was seventh. David Reagan was eighth. Ninth, Ty Dillon. Elliot Sadler, I almost blew that, came in 10th. There was one lead change amongst two drivers and only two cautions for 18 laps. Two? Come on. Both for debris, so that makes you kind of wonder. Average speed, 140.09 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.567 seconds. Took 2 hours and 8 minutes and 37 seconds. And that's probably one of the cleanest races that you could ever run in any series, let alone 300 miles at Atlanta with only one lead change. Kevin Harvick's car was that good, and the only one that led any laps was Chase Elliott. Of course, Harvick started eighth. Chase Elliott started from the pole. Guess what Harvick learned in that race? He took over into the Cup race. Because in the Cup race, Harvick led seven times for 195 laps and looked like he was going to win it all. From late yellows, changed things around, and one of the last yellows happened late on lap 330, and there was only that involved Harvick, Joey Logano, Paul Menard, and Jimmy Johnson, but Jimmy Johnson didn't wind up with that much damage on it. I don't know. I guess he got rubbed on the way by. But that pretty much took Harvick out. Apparently, Harvick was kept getting beat on pit stops by Denny Hamlin and Matt Kenseth. And Denny Hamlin's pit times were ungodly. They were 11.8, 11.9, all under 12. They even had five pit stops under 12 seconds. So either he didn't need a fuel gas run or what, but Harvick was getting beat out of off of pit road and needed time to make up that distance to make the passes. And as his car set up for pretty much the longer run, it wasn't helpful when that last restart came out, and then, of course, one of the restarts brought out the caution to set up the green-white checker finish that gathered up Harvick with Menard and Logano. So that set up the restart to where Casey Kane, who restarted third. He had Matt Kenseth and Denny Hamlin on the front row. Casey Kane was third and on the inside. To his outside was Danica Patrick. And it would have been someone if she restarted and if she was on the inside and was able to get around and take that win and make the chase, that would have bummed some people out. But Casey Kane, who did have the second fastest car, he led twice for 25 laps. One of the times getting ahead of Harvick before the second to the last caution, which set the stage for one more pit stop. Kenseth and Hamlin stayed out. Well, anyway, there was so much confusion there. A bunch of cars came down on a pit stop with the caution lap 325 involving Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. So they were able to get in the green-white, set it up for the green-white checker finish, and Casey Kane was able to make the dive to the inside and get past Kenseth and Hamlin to take the lead. And Kenseth wound up in the second spot, Hamlin wound up third. Fourth was Jimmy Johnson. Harl Edwards made the last charge to get around Danica Patrick, who faded from fourth to sixth. So Edwards was fifth. Newman was seventh. Kyle Larson was eighth. Ninth, Arik Amarola. Tenth, Greg Biffle. It was Danica Patrick's best finish ever. And Kasey Kahne makes the chase. The race took 3 hours, 55 minutes, and 22 seconds. The average speed, 131.5 miles an hour. Margin of victory, half a second, a little over half a second. There were 21 lead changes among 6 drivers and 10 cautions for 56 laps. A little more action than the 500 miles on Sunday night than the 300 miles on Saturday night, but in the end, it all comes down to the chase grid. Kahne is in, and with that win, he winds up 8th with 708 points. That puts him ahead of Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, Arik Amarola, and A.J. Allmendinger, because they all have one win apiece. And he has more points than that. If we look at the seed right now, it's Jeff Gordon over Dale Jr. and Joey Logano. Brad Keselowski's fourth, and Jimmy Johnson's in the fifth spot. Edwards, for the two-time winners, leads Kevin Harvick. Harvick, if he would have won, would have been in the with the three-time winners. Matt Kenseth, 14th, locked in on points. Nobody's within 50 of them. So, actually, 47, if you wanted to do the math right there. And you can only get maybe, and you can't get that many per win. You get 3 bonus points, plus 43 is 46. Points for leading the lap. I don't know. He could be caught, but he's pretty much locked in. But he won't be below the bottom 16. Here's where it gets a little tricky. 16th, Greg Biffle. 17th, Clint Bowyer. Bowyer had a rough day with tranny problems. He lost a lot of points there. Kyle Larson, who was in the chase, had a couple bad weeks, and he's 1 point behind Bowyer, so he's not really out of it. So I'm looking at if anybody can catch Biffle, the closest two are going to be Clint Bowyer and Kyle Larson. Pending a win. Now, you always have a win coming up this coming week, and that's what it's all about with the last race before the chase at Richmond. So here's where it gets a little funny. Now, going into Richmond, here's what I see. I see a lot of Chevys. Harvick having a good run there. Clint Bowyer runs good there. Joey Logano's been running good there. So this is where it's going to get a little tricky. One of the guys that usually runs well, I think, is going to take the win. We're not going to see any specific outsider take the win. So I'm looking at a tough battle here between Joey Logano, Gordon, Keselowski, Harvick, and Bowyer. So I think with this win, I'm going to go for it's going to be a tough one there. So you know what? I I think it's going to be between Harvick and Logano, and I'm just trying to see who I'm going to lean to go with for the pick. Oh, well, on my Facebook page, but right now I'll tell you, I think Harvick has a lot, he wants to be that third guy in, so I'll go with Harvick for this week. So that'll be our show for tonight. Tune in next Monday. We'll see who we have lined up to make an appearance. I'd like to thank my guests tonight, Ryan Trapp from Richmond and Kenneth Lowell Smith, a Marine who's doing some dirt track racing for a worthy cause out in Iowa. We'll give him a help out. And we'll see you all. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.